All right, final 30 minutes of today's show. We'll be giving way to Clemson basketball against St. Peter's here at 6:30. But that's time for our buddy Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. Free coverage of Tiger baseball, football, basketball, all things Clemson recruiting and everything else. And, of course, you can follow them on Twitter at ClemsportsNews. And, Gary, I hope you're having regular season championship week's over. Are you finding yourself having a moment to catch some of the holiday spirit?
A little bit. Catching my breath is more like it. A whirlwind weekend going to the ACC championship game and coverage there. We spent Friday, Saturday, and, you know, most of Sunday working on coverage and things coming to and out of the game. But, yeah, we're starting to get the holiday spirit in us. You know, it is the season, as they like to say.
Yeah, no doubt. And let me ask you, I'm sure I know you're in the press box during the game, but might you have been on the field in pregame when I've asked this of a couple of media members. What purpose did it serve Pitt in poking the bear on the way back to the locker room? Is apparently they decided they were going to get up in Clemson's face before the game and let them know they were there. And, of course, Clemson smacked that right down to a 14-0 lead.
I think those guys pretty much just kind of brushed that off. When it gets down to it, you know, we always talk about it. You know, we've mentioned it on this show many times when I spoke to you. It's about the Jimmys and Joes. And they can get all the excitement and all the bravado you want and get in somebody's face, but unless you can back that up with the athleticism and talent it needs to, and, you know, once again, the production and able to implement your game plan, then you know, there's no need for all that. But I think that the Clemson guys just kind of just went about business on Saturday and did their job, as Dabo says, you know, lived to their own standard and played to that.
And the standard has been lifted higher now than I can ever remember, and that includes the national championship season. When you see what all is coming Clemson's way, you know, today it was the AP ACC Awards. Clemson sweeps every major category. Travis Etienne, Offensive Player of the Year. Cleland Farrell, Defensive Player of the Year. Coach Sweeney, Coach of the Year. And not to mention Trevor Lawrence, Newcomer of the Year. So do you ever remember anything like this going on? And of course, I know Deshaun was invited to New York, but sweeping these awards like this is something I just don't remember.
Yeah, I have to go back to the 80s and some of those Clemson, and when Florida State first got into the league, Florida State would inundate the all ACC teams like this. I haven't seen it like that. Clemson back in the 80s would have all ACC front line, but nothing like that. Did you realize that the offensive line is represented? All the offensive linemen on this team are represented in the All-ACC teams, either first, second, or third. That's never happened. Every single offensive lineman is All-ACC this year. So, you know, that's another harbinger to what Dabo Sweeney has built here and what he's going to continue to build with the depth that he's got here.
And, Gary, I mean, all we hear about is the All-American defensive line, but if you ask me what allowed Clemson to progress to the next level, they've always had great skill talent, but that offensive line, to me, has been one of the biggest difference makers for this program. And, listen, there's a guy that should be enshrined at some point down the line in whatever society or up there in the Ring of Honor, and his name is Mitch Hyatt, and that kid has started every game at left tackle. Didn't move to left tackle during his Clemson career, but now has started every game, I believe, at left tackle.
Yeah, set the Clemson record for the most snaps ever by a Clemson football player at any position. He has been the model of consistency since he's gotten here. Plays hurt a lot. No one ever realizes that. And Mitch has also been a quiet leader. You know, he's not a very vocal guy, but you listen, you talk to the players, and we have asked about Mitch and his leadership capabilities and what he brings to the table. And a lot of the guys speak to his quiet leadership. And he leads by example on the field with his play. You won't find a better ambassador for Clemson. You remember during the recruiting process, he came out of high school at North Gwinnett. He was a legacy of sorts. His uncle was a Clemson alum from that 81 team, as a matter of fact. Since he's arrived at Clemson, with a lot of accolades coming in as the number one offensive tackle back when he came to Clemson, he's managed to maintain that level of play and consistency throughout his career.
Yeah, it's been absolutely next level. So we had the feeling that if it was Bama 1, Oklahoma 4, that was going to flip the locations for the college football playoff, and it's exactly what happened. I really do think not only the fan base, but the players are happy to go do something different and go to Dallas this year, because, you know, that's been multiple. Hey, it's a nice problem to have, but, you know, roughly four trips to South Florida in the last decade. I always think it's fun to go experience something different.
Well, Cotton Bowl, haven't been there since they played in 1946, I think it was.
No, it was 39, and it was 6-3 Clemson over Boston College. So I never want to hear any more crap about that Alabama-LSU game from about 7 years ago, okay?
I hear you. But, yeah, so it's been quite a while. A different venue, a great venue, Jerry's World, you know, a place that everyone puts on their bucket list if you're a football fan. It's one of those buildings that, you know, that got a lot of attention and has had a lot of really great games already played in there in the college football atmosphere. I think it'll be a great place. I think Notre Dame is a national fan base. They'll show up no matter where they play. They have such a large alumni spread out throughout the country that they'll show up. Clemson's fan base is looking forward to it. And, yes, I think the new location and the new venue has fired up the fan base to show up. I think it's going to stretch resources for some of the folks, as quickly as they turn around if they do win and end up in Santa Clara. But, that will be the real testament to see. But I think the Clemson fan base, once again, will do what it takes to get out there and support their team.
Yeah, I knew a lot of people that said, you know, I've been to South Florida four times in a decade. I'm going to take my shot. Chances that they win, now they're all on wanting to go to Dallas for the Cotton Bowl. All right, final football-related question for you, Gary. We got two signing days coming up, one in December, of course, the national signing day, the first Wednesday in February. Any news, expectations, anything along those lines here on this first signing day in a couple of weeks?
Nothing new to report here lately. We do cover recruiting, and we also we look across all the networks and kind of take a composite of what's going on with everyone and kind of get a feel of that. And I know that today, I think the Rivals network decided to move both Joseph Ngata, the wide receiver out of California, out of Folsom, up to five stars, as well as Andrew Booth, the cornerback out of Archer High School in Atlanta. Both of those guys are expected to sign on the early signing period and come into school in December here. We're going to release a story later on this week talking about the early enrollees. Look for that. And then we're going to talk about what's going on in February and who's still out there on the table. There's some intriguing things along the offensive line that we're going to mention coming up. There's some guys that have moved up in Clemson's eyes on their board, and there's some other things happening along the defensive line that we'll talk about as well.
All right, Clemson basketball, they'll tip off at 7 p.m. tonight. It's the St. Peter's Peacocks. They're 2-5 on the year. I know Brad Brunell and the Clemson basketball team have to be happy to see somebody not from the Cornhusker State after the Creighton and Nebraska games. But, you know, here's a team that wants to get right in the mind as well, because things amp up here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, you know, this game, they're 2-5 coming in. They have a first year coach trying to implement his system with a new school. He's never been here before. Coming into Clemson, the Tigers, sans the game that was the tournament game to Creighton, they lost when the freak performance happened with the guy dropping threes all over them, and they lost that one. But the Nebraska performance was the one that was really a little telling. I think it came out a little flat in that game, and I think you saw in that game that if they have the athletic guard forward combination guys, those guys can really press this team and cause an issue. We saw that last week with Nebraska, and the atmosphere wasn't exactly what Coach Brownell was happy about. But you can't blame the fans for the performance of the team. And at 5-2 and heading into ACC play January 14th against Virginia, they've got a few more games here to get their things back in line and to get the momentum they need going into January.
All right. Give us an idea for the holidays and everything else. Dabo says he's going to paint Dallas orange. So I'm sure ClemsonSportsNews.com, they're going to paint everything orange here over the holidays as well.
Yeah, we're heading out there. We're going to be out there for media day. We'll be out there for the Friday press conferences with the coaches, and then all of a sudden game coverage on that Saturday. Until then, it's basketball. And anything that we find out about recruiting, we will be glad to report to everybody, and we'll be putting some good stuff out over the next few weeks. Some season synopsis-type articles are going to come out over the next couple weeks. our thoughts of about the position groups and what they did over the year, the freshmen and how they did over the year. If you follow our site, you know that each week we put out a freshman progress report by our writer, Lindsay Rhodes, who does a really great job with that. She has a season synopsis coming out, how the freshmen did all year, encompassing all the freshman snaps of who did what, and obviously, you know, statistics.
So, Gary, for people that don't know you, you're an old talented sound guy like myself. Now, I'm just an old sound guy. We aren't going to use the adjective talented in there any stretch of the imagination whatsoever. But I need to pay you back for all this little hard work. Need to get you over to the house. I think between the two of us, we might be able to get this little project studio all hooked up.
You just name the day, buddy.
I will.
We're going to come over and we'll share with you the 30 years of knowledge I gathered out there on tour back in the day.
Oh, yeah. God, man. I came across some stuff here, as I told you, that brings me back to coming out of Full Sail. Things like ADATs and things like that. But anyway, I appreciate it. We'll have you over for some dinner and have some fun. Thanks for everything you do. And, of course, thanks to everybody, including Dean the Hat over at ClemsonTigerNews.com or ClemsonSportsNews.com. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. Just like I said, everybody remember, it's 365-247 ClemsonSportsNews.com. We are your only 100% free Clemson news site. We cover it all. It's all free. You'll never find us asking for your credit card information or for any money. We have sponsors that are there. Please visit our sponsors. And, again, come see us anytime you want to get your Clemson information. It's updated daily.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Be good. We'll talk to you here soon. There's Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter at Clem Sports News. All right, we'll come back. We'll close up shop. We can get in a quick phone call if you want. 844-GSP-ESPN. Of course, the Washington Redskins. After that performance last night, you're toast. So, Diesel, do you ever get one of those gut feelings like earlier this football season when we said there's a pretty good chance, if not better than good chance, that Urban Meyer will not be roaming the sidelines as the head football coach at The Ohio State University next season? I mean, you have to remember we said that at the end of August, and we've stood by it. And by God, when it happens, you make sure you let people know. No. But that was a gut feeling, right? Because I to this day, I'm kind of convinced that Urban Meyer doesn't feel like he ever did anything wrong when it comes to the Zach Smith situation. The fact that there may be other issues with it, that's something completely different. But I'm getting a major gut feeling in my stomach that the Willie Taggart era at Florida State is just not going to work out. Because you saw a team multiple times. Florida State, if nothing else, you lose a football game, it shouldn't be for lack of effort. You know what I mean? Because there's talent, good season or bad season at Florida State.
You're supposed to see some measurable uptick in some form on the team, whether that means wins and losses, whether that means effort, whether that means playing good teams, tough, whatever that means. We haven't seen any of that at Florida State.
All right, yesterday I hear from down there, you know, the Florida State offensive coordinator, Walt Bell, said, screw this. He went and took UMass's head coaching job. There's a lot of dysfunction going on. This is not going to end any better for Florida State. You ready? Former Florida State starting offensive tackle Josh Ball suspended by a school judicial panel in May after a Title IX investigation found him responsible for dating violence, will now attempt to return to the Florida State football program in January. A source with direct knowledge of the situation said, if Ball is reinstated by the university, the coaching staff is wide open to allowing him back on the team. Ball, a former four-star recruit from Fredericksburg, Virginia, started 9 games at offensive tackle in 2017 and went through spring practice in 2018 before he was suspended. He transferred to Butler County Community College in El Dorado, Kansas, and ended the season with a 34-30 win over Northeastern Oklahoma A&M in the Midwest Classic Bowl. All right, that's one thing. Do you want to know why this cannot happen? And no, it's not because it might make a Florida State's offensive line better against Clemson. Josh Ball's ex-girlfriend just came out and made this statement, Diesel. Quote, I will not be silenced or intimidated by this repeat sexual and physical abuser. For Willie Taggart to even consider bringing him back on campus is a physical threat to me and any other woman at Florida State. That trumps anything that Willie Taggart and the Florida State football program can try to do for this guy, right? He just needs to go find a second home somewhere else in college football. But if there is one female on that Florida State campus that's a current student that did not transfer out to a community college in Kansas, if there's one girl, one woman that's in fear on that Florida State campus because of his previous actions, that's one woman too many, in my opinion. But trying to go get him back, trying to go get him back like this, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I have no tolerance for anybody when it comes to physical violence toward women, sexual assault with men. I just don't. So if that, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. Do you not agree? Quote, I will not be silenced or intimidated by this repeat sexual and physical abuser. For Willie Taggart to even consider him bringing him back on campus is a physical threat to me and any other woman at Florida State University. Go. I'm not saying you can't go play football somewhere else, but you don't need to go back to Florida State. And for Willie Taggart to maybe be hanging hopes of getting better next year based on this guy just causes me to believe a gut feeling that it does not work out at Florida State. Because I keep coming back to this. I don't care how good. I don't care how good Clemson is at number two in the country. Whether they're one of the two best teams or not, I don't care. There is never a reason under any circumstance whatsoever that Clemson should ever walk into Florida State University's Doak Campbell Stadium and put a 59-10 beatdown on the Seminoles. That's effort. For whatever reason, and I know that you got to weed people out. You know, you got to find which ones believe in your program and which ones you just want to see go on somewhere else. But that there was a four-game run that Florida State was not even competitive, giving over four. I don't think the players respect him. I really don't. He Jimbo Fisher was a egomaniac, misogynist, but he was the head of that Florida State program. I look and watch Florida State now, and I don't look at Willie Taggart as one of these dynamic figureheads that's completely in control of his program. So when we're feeling pretty perky, after saying that Urban Meyer would not be the head coach at Ohio State in 2019, which technically he will be for one game because he will be coaching, on New Year's Day against the Washington Huskies in the Rose Bowl. But for the 2019 season, let's go ahead and call our shot now. Willie Taggart doesn't make it at Florida State before he ends up getting fired.
So you're saying he won't be the coach in 2020?
2020 or 2021, he'll be gone. Because, again, I don't see him out there. The one thing that you knew about Dabo Swinney, all right, even when he went through that 6-7 season, you knew he had an idea of what he wanted to be and that he was going to work his butt off to get from point A to point B. There was a lot of snickering that went on. I mean, shoot, you go back 4 years ago when Clemson started this 53-4 run, people were still snickering at Dabo Swinney being a towel waver. You know what I mean? Now everybody wants to try to replicate his program. So I saw that. Now, whether he could, but you knew what the message was. I don't felt like we were ever given a message by Willie Taggart when it came to Florida State football this year. And that's unacceptable in that program, in my opinion, because as Will Vandervoort said a couple of weeks ago, you should be able to hit a sand wedge from the end zone at Florida State and hit 10 good recruits. You know what I mean? So if you actually think you're going to bring this guy back in on campus, then I'm not sure I can help you. And I'll tell you this much. being the father of a 17-year-old daughter that's a year and a half from making her way onto a college campus begins to change your thought process on things, Deez. You know what I mean? It definitely does. All right, so here's the deal. 90 seconds, we're going to send you down to Clemson, South Carolina. It is the 5-2 Clemson Tigers hosting the 2-5 St. Peter's Peacocks. Tomorrow on the show, we can already let you know at 5 p.m., we'll talk with the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, Dave Kane, ahead of that Belt Bowl matchup with the South Carolina Gamecocks later on this month. And also, at the top of the 6 p.m. hour, we're going to talk with a friend of mine, Edward Egros, from out in Dallas, Texas. He is one of the sports anchors for the Dallas television stations, and he'll give you an idea as a Clemson fan what all's going on. And apparently right now at this time of the year with the way the Cowboys playing, you're not allowed in Dallas without tipping your cap to the star. Because they now know that they're in control of the NFC East after that disaster that Washington put up in that loss to Philadelphia last night. All right, so we'll talk Virginia football with Dave Kane, the voice of the Wahoos. We'll also talk Dallas Cotton Bowl and maybe some Texas sports as well with Edward Egros, and we're working on more. But, of course, right now it's time for Clemson Tiger basketball. Started the season off 5-2. They've coming off back-to-back losses, one to Creighton, one to Nebraska, and of course it's time to get healthy. It's the holiday season. Let's feast. Clemson Tiger basketball. Furman tip it off at 7 p.m. at Elon. Wofford 5-2 in the year, and 8 p.m. tip off at the Kansas Jayhawks. Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 p.m.